Now with the All Things Covered podcast, he is Bryant McFadden. You can also follow him on Twitter at @BMAC_sports talk. Thanks for this, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for making time. How about that game-winning drive from Patrick Mahomes last night, eh?
I know, right? Are you really surprised? I mean, anytime you give a guy like Pat Mahomes at least a minute on the clock to, worst-case scenario, get into field goal range, it's almost like it's just a matter of time.
And it is crazy the way that it all played out. A minute, yes, but when, you know, you in that position, the Raiders defense, they didn't have any answers. When an elite QB like that gets into the zone, I mean, do you have any chance to stop them?
No, I mean, you got to fight and play till the end, but you got to also be lucky. Usually when you're playing against a great player that's surrounded by other great players, the only way you can have consistent success against them is, you know, being on the right end of the stick when it comes to luck. And the Raiders didn't play bad football, but they didn't do enough to win, especially on the defensive side. And if you're not going to pressure Pat Mahomes, you're not going to have a lot of success. If you look at the teams that have had success against Pat Mahomes, they've been able to put pressure on him. The first meeting, the Raiders put pressure on Pat Mahomes. They touched him up a little bit, but they also scored a lot of points. They had splash plays. They didn't have the same effect offensively last night, and the defense didn't do as good as they did the first time as well. So if you're not going to put pressure on Pat Mahomes, he will find a way to carve you up.
I saw Peter King in his Monday morning column said, we are watching Jordan when referring to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you've played against Peyton Manning and the elites of the elite. What do you see when you're watching Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I see greatness. But instead of, you know, I think if we're talking about a basketball comparison, I would say when Steph Curry kind of took over the NBA, the way he did it was something we never saw before. You know, a smaller guy that just was a dominating force on the court. Pat Mahomes had the same, attributes. It's different. We've never seen a guy that has the arm strength and the accuracy and the mobility all in one that can be so good at any given time. And he's changing the game. I mean, now he has quarterbacks, young quarterbacks. If you go to any youth league park, they're trying to practice a sidearm. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what Chef Curry did. He made shooting a three-pointer a hot thing. Instead of just dunking and getting to the rim and having highlights, he made shooting a three-pointer and walking away without actually watching the ball go through the net a hot thing. Now, on a rollout pass, if you're not trying to throw it sidearm, you're not doing it right now. So the way he's changed the game and how successful he's been, man, yes, we're watching a great player. He's basically one of one at his position right now.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Bryant McFadden. Bryant, we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. Who is the best wide receiver in the game? You're a former NFL defender. Who do you think deserves that crown right now?
Right now, the best in the game based on consistency and health, I would say is either a toss-up. I'll say either D-Hop or Devontae Adams. Now, granted, Devontae missed some time. But, man, I don't know if there has been an individual that has been so impactful when he's been involved in the ball game as Devontae Adams. He hasn't really been in a game where he's just been shut down or neutralized, to say the least. So I think those would be my top two guys. And outside of those two, I would throw DK Metcalf into that conversation. And he's definitely ascending in the right direction. You know, Julio's been dealing with injuries. He's been in and out of the lineup a lot. And, you know, sometimes he's played, but he hasn't been 100%. And because of that, we haven't seen the production. So my top two guys would probably be D-Hop or Devontae. And I think I would side with, it's a tough one. I mean, we had DeAndre Hopkins on the podcast. He's a friend of the show, so I'm going to side with D-Hop.
All right. Bryant McFadden going with D-Hop for now anyways. We'll see if that changes maybe later on in the year. A lot of people are watching a Canadian kid playing for your former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chase Claypool is doing great things, 10 touchdowns already this season. What makes him so difficult to cover as a DB?
He's a big target. Anytime you have a big wide receiver that can run like a little wide receiver and has reliable hands, they will always show up, especially when you're playing with a Hall of Fame-like player in Big Ben. I mean, you look at the wide receivers that I just mentioned, we just talked about. D-Hop is a big guy. DK Metcalf is a bigger guy. He's like a DK Metcalf type of player. He's a big, big guy. He has an extremely large catch radius, and he can run like the wind. I mean, he can run by you at any given time, and it makes it even better for him because he goes into a well-structured organization that has had success with wide receivers. So what he's doing now, yes, he surprised a lot of folks because no one thought he would have 10 touchdowns in 10 ball games, right? No one expected that. But are we really surprised with the success that he's been able to showcase? No, because he did it at Notre Dame. He did it at Notre Dame. And one thing I like about Chase Claypool is not about being a wide receiver. He's a football player. You go look at his early tape at Notre Dame. He was a terror on special teams. And that's what I love about Pittsburgh. When you look at drafting wide receivers, they draft football players that happen to play wide receivers. And when you get those type of players in your organization, they're a football player and they love the game, they will be successful.
I was just going to say, you know, what is it about the Steelers that they're just constantly, you know, of course talent is key, but they also develop these players into great football players that can succeed at the highest level. Just what is it about the culture at the Steelers that they keep finding these guys?
Well, you got to check out my earlier episode on All Things Covered because I had Mike Tomlin on. And I specifically asked him about the development of players in the organization, especially the wide receivers. And that's something that he hit on. He uses Hines Ward as the ultimate wide receiver pitcher when he looks at collegiate tape of these upcoming guys that will be in the draft. And that's the guy that he used as the ideal image to be able to have that domino effect throughout the position. You got to be a football player first and foremost. If you want to play wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, you got to be a football player. And the same can be said throughout all the positions in the National Football League, because he feels like if you love the game of football, whatever your position is, you're going to continue to try to be as best at that position as you can be because you love the game. And football players love the game. I mean, he dropped some big-time jewels on the podcast talking about that and some other things, but when you don't draft a position and you draft who the player is, no question is success will follow, especially if you have the staff that can develop those guys.
Well, speaking of those Steelers, you know, undefeated 10-0, do you think the Steelers could go 16-0?
I think it can happen if they keep their foot on the gas. You know, clearly they're trying to, you know, solidify the number one spot because that's the only team that will have a bye in the playoffs now. But yeah, I think they can. But me personally, I'd rather lose a ball game in the regular season if that gives us a better opportunity to get to the Super Bowl, right? And if you have a better opportunity of getting to the Super Bowl by having to win every ball game to keep the Kansas City Chiefs off your heels, so be it. But yeah, look at the schedule, guys. I mean, it's not like they have a difficult task the remaining of the way throughout the year. I mean, you just took care of Jacksonville. You got to play Baltimore this week. You have Cleveland again. You have Cincinnati again. Anytime you play a divisional foe that's chasing something, you know, you got to be mindful. And there's no easy out in the National Football League, but when you look at the difficulty of schedule, four teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're close to the bottom of the barrel when you look at how difficult their schedule is.
Brian McFadden, our guest, the All Things Covered podcast, and check him out on Twitter at @BMAC_SportsTalk, two-time Super Bowl champ. I know you recently had Jamal Adams on, and you know it's we focus a lot here on the Seahawks being in the Pacific Northwest in Vancouver. It hasn't been a totally smooth transition for Jamal. You know, comes over for two first-round picks, and it's looked like an awkward fit at times. He's finding his way, starting to make some plays, but how do you see the Seahawks defense getting the most out of Jamal Adams?
Well, the thing about Jamal, he's a difference maker, but he's been dealing with injuries. And I think Jamal will show his worth in December and January football. And what I mean when I say that, listeners, that's the most important time for playoff teams, December and January football. And I think by that time, you will see the best of who he is as a player. Remember what he did week one, how he just terrorized the Atlanta Falcons. Was that week one? I think it was week one or week two, early in the year. I mean, he was a man amongst boys in Atlanta. And the same can be said for the next few ball games after that. And then he was dealing with the injury. Then he had the shoulder issue. But we saw glimpses of what he can do this past Thursday night against Arizona. So the defense, I think the Seattle Seahawks and Mark Murray, they're going to start playing some of their best defensive football towards the end of the season, because you have all your pieces intact along with the extra pieces. A guy like Carlos Dunlap, I think he's going to be a big-time get for them, and he will show his worth. He kind of showed his worth already sealing the game against Arizona last Thursday night. But, yeah, I think this defense can ascend to be a quality unit. And the thing about Seattle, it's not like you need your defense to be the San Francisco 49ers of last year. Their offense is so good. You just need to have timely, good defensive play to be able to be relevant and make a deep run. And I think they have the ability to do so.
Well, one defense that's definitely showing its worth right now is the Colts defense. Are they good enough to take them to the playoffs and make them a contender? Is that D that level of a defense?
Yeah, I think so. Because the thing about the Colts, if you look at the AFC, offenses that you need to be afraid of is Kansas City. Right. And I think you could put Pittsburgh in that category because of Big Ben and his pass catchers and the continuity they have. But outside of that, are there any other offenses that scare you in the AFC? I'll say no. Honestly, yeah. I'll say maybe the third best offense you might need to be mindful of would be Buffalo, but they don't really have a lot of balance. So because of that, their defense should be, they could be a force to be reckoned with because of the lack of high power offenses in the division and in the conference in the AFC. So yes, I think the most concerning thing about Indy is which Philip Rivers will you see? You know, if you can get that Philip Rivers that's poised and smart with the football, yeah, they could be a force to be reckoned with as well. But if you get Philip Rivers that can be a bit up and down, an emotional roller coaster when it comes to turnovers and not being accurate, yeah, it could be a long, long day for their defense if they're not getting the backing from the offense.
Brian, before we let you go, this yesterday, actually, against the Baltimore Ravens, we saw the Titans disrespect the shield, the logo on the field there. You saw Harbaugh didn't like it. Some of the Ravens players didn't like it. Was there ever a moment in your career where somebody maybe disrespected the Steelers logo or the terrible towel? And you have a story about that?
Oh, yeah, the terrible towel. I remember my rookie year, we played Cincinnati in Pittsburgh, and that was towards the end of the season, right before we won our playoff run to get into the playoffs. TJ Houshmandzadeh was recorded, you know, cleaning his cleats with a terrible towel. And we all caught wind of it. No question, we felt disrespected. We felt disrespected to the utmost. And I remember the first playoff game of that year, we had to travel to Pittsburgh and D.C., Bill Cowher. We were in Cincinnati in the hotel, and he usually gave us, we had a meeting. We met with the entire team, and, he didn't have a lot to say, but the final thing he said led into showing that video on the projector. And I remember when he showed that video, and I think he cut off the lights, and he just told everybody just to visualize what we were going to do in the stadium the next day and just meditate. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, guys, I think he was playing that Phil Collins In the Air Tonight. And, man, when the lights were off, man, and people were just dialed in and focused, and the last image that we remember seeing was TJ disrespecting the terrible towel, which was a part of who we were as a ball club. No question, we had ill will in our mind. And we went out and we delivered that ill will on that Sunday. Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, that was a Saturday ball game. And we went out and delivered that ill will. And the rest is history. We rode that same aggression on the way to Detroit to win the first Super Bowl.
Check out the All Things Covered podcast with Brian McFadden at BMAC_SportsTalk. Thanks for this, Brian. It's been awesome having you on. Cheers.
Thank you for having me.